Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it. Well, it's an honor to be here. Who's excited to be in church today? I'm going to ask this side. All right. Who's excited to be in church today? There we go. Free coffee and donuts at the end of the service. Guys, as Larry says, my name's Brandon Dom. It's a privilege to be here with you today. As Larry mentioned, I'm a farm boy. And I might not be in my coveralls or grease or full of oil right now, but you got to clean up a little bit for Sundays, right? So very thankful to be here. I promise you, if you can give me half an hour of your time, that God will speak to you. When I was given this opportunity to speak, he placed a word on my heart. And I promise you, if you can just keep your heart open, your ears open to be receiving, that I am just a messenger of his word. And so I'm 22 years old. And for everyone out there who's young and says that you can't do anything, age doesn't mean anything. I believe that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Amen. And I love how Paul writes to Timothy in Scripture, how he encourages Timothy that even though you're young, Timothy, that your age is actually your greatest strength to encourage the people. And so I'm here as a messenger. I'm here as an encourager. I'm here as a motivator. And so I pray that your hearts are open. And so I want to take you guys on a bit of a perspective this morning. I want to take you guys on a bit of a journey that God gave me. And so I want to speak to you guys on the perspective of through the eyes of the farmer. Through the eyes of the farmer. I want to take you guys on a one-year journey in what God teaches the farmer in every season. A one-year journey. Through every single season. The winter, the spring, the summer, and the fall. There's seasons in our lives. And I'm so excited about this. It was about a year ago, Dave, wherever Dave is, the youth pastor, him and I had the opportunity to go for coffee. And he was talking to me and he says, Brandon, it would be very wise for you to take 1 year of your life and just focus in on me. On Christ like never before. Take 1 year of your life and fast and pray. Take 1 year of your life to get rid of all the distractions. To fix your focus on the blessing. Not necessarily the blessings. Not necessarily the blessings. And so I want to take you guys on this journey that God spoke to me. If you have your Bibles here, we're going to be reading a passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 8. If not, it's up on the screen. And it's a little small. You might have to put some lenses on to see this. I apologize. I plant crops. I don't do computers. Okay. Deuteronomy 8. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Who believes that God is bringing you into a good land? Amen. He's bringing us into a good land. What does it say? It says, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. Everybody say nothing. You will lack nothing. You will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given. The land that he has given. Be careful that you do not forget. Everybody say forget. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In the midst of the journey that each and every one of us are on right now, have you been forgetting about the Lord your God? Has your focus been so caught up in the fact that you're on this journey, but you've been trying to see, is it my strength that is getting me through, or is it his? Is it his? Do not forget the Lord your God. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well for you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He. For it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for this moment. God, I just pray that you come like a windstorm. God, I pray that you can anoint my lips. God, I pray that you can speak through me. God, I pray that you can encourage the people. God, I pray you open the ears and the hearts of these individuals to hear the very word, God, that you want them to hear. God, I pray that this encourages them. God, I pray that in the midst of all things, we can keep our focus on you and not on the blessings around us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. If you could kind of summarize the author in Deuteronomy 8, one could say that in the midst of your journey, in the midst of going from that place of captivity to then the wilderness to then the promised land, you could essentially say, put your focus not on the blessings, but focus on the blesser. Focus on the blesser, not on the blessings. And that's the theme that I want to carry out for the rest of our time. It's a theme that God has spoken to me to speak to you guys, to encourage you that when you look through life through the farmer's eyes, when you see life through his eyes, that you see that his focus is not caught up in his blessings, but his focus is on the blesser. And so that's where I want our minds to be in, our hearts to be receiving. So our journey begins in the spring. Now, for y'all that don't even know much about farming, who knows anything about farming in here? Raise your hand. Nice, we got some people. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so our journey begins in the spring. And this is a plant. This is something that my dad and I and our guys that we use to plant our seed. All right? And it's an amazing piece of technology that we've been blessed with. And it can plant a lot of seed at a lot of time. But it's interesting what God teaches the farmer in the planting process. See, there's a process involved to plant your seed. Did you know that a farmer doesn't just go and plant his seed in the spring? That he actually has to wait till the seed can go into soil that is 8 degrees or more. Did you guys know? That if you plant your seed in ground that's too cold, it's not going to start to pop out of the ground. And when it does, it imbibes cold water and it's not able to produce what it could produce. See, a farmer knows. He knows he has to wait for the soil to warm up. There's a process involved. See, when the farmer finally gets the soil warmed up, he'll prepare it. He takes an implement across the field where he can prepare and create a seed bed for the seed. And as soon as he does that, he can then finally plant his seed. All this concludes, the farmer has to do things are done in an order. The things are done in an order. That you don't just go and plant your seed. You have to realize when you see life through the eyes of the farmer, he knows that things are done in an order. They're done in an order. And maybe some of you here are left empty-handed because you forgot the order of your sowing process. That you've been trying to invest your time and your efforts and your seed into areas of your life, but you didn't wait till your soil was ready yet. There's an order. Things are done in an order. Another cool thing that God teaches the farmer in the spring is that farmers always has to plant a seed into fertile ground. Everybody say fertile. Fertile ground. Now, why does a farmer need to sow his seed into fertile ground? He does it because he can expect a harvest. To expect a harvest. A farmer knows how valuable that seed is. A farmer knows how much it takes to make that seed pop out of the ground. And if he doesn't place that seed in fertile ground, he's not going to expect a harvest. So he knows that he looks for fertile ground. What is fertile ground in your life? What people, relationships, investments of your time, efforts, your character is fertile? I encourage you that a farmer never spreads himself too thin. He fixes his focus on areas in his life that is fertile. And so maybe some of you here, God is speaking to you that you need to stop spreading your seed so thin. You need to stop placing your time and your efforts into areas of your life that you will never expect to harvest. And so you need to know that you have to find fertile ground in your life, because a farmer, he knows that he can't sow his seed unless there's fertile ground, because he wants to expect to harvest. expect a harvest. As the summer rolls in our journey, summer is an amazing time. For the summer, for me, it's kind of hard because it's so beautiful outside, right? And it's so nice, but yet there's a lot of work involved because weeds come. Weeds come. And a farmer in the summertime, he is focused on weed management. Weeds do three things for a farmer. They come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what a weed does. It comes to kill, steal, and destroy. See, a farmer knows how valuable his seed is, and he knows how much it takes. And when he sees a weed starting to grow right beside the very corn that's coming out of the ground, ooh, he gets his focus on. He knows that he cannot have weeds, because if he did, look at the photo on your right. You see good, luscious, growing corn. And you don't even have to be a farmer to understand this, but the other corn is half the size. It's half the size with weeds completely submerging it. Maybe some of you in this room are seeing others around you grow and flourishing, and you're stuck there. You haven't seen growth. Has the enemy come to plant some weeds in your life? Has he come to try to take away the very source of nutrients that God has already provided in the fertile ground that he's placed you in? And so we have to be very, very aware of weeds that will come and destroy us. And I love this. My dad spoke this to me when I was encouraging him with this message. He says, "Brandon, if the crop is never growing, weeds are." That's a 30-year-old veteran farm quote right there. If your crop is never growing, that means weeds are. See, the enemy knows the very purpose, plan, and destiny on all of our lives here in this room. And he knows the very call that we all have. And he will place weeds in your life. He will place those people in your life. He will place those distractions in your life that will come to kill, steal, and destroy you. But when you see life through the eyes of the farmer, you know that you can't afford weeds in your field because you'll never expect a harvest. A farmer's number one goal, his number one task all year is that he can reap the rewards of what the harvest brings. And he will do whatever he can in each season that he's given to manage his farm appropriately, because he can only control so much, but he can't control everything. And that leads us to our next thing. Drought. Everybody say drought. Who likes drought in this room? Not a lot of you like drought. A drought for a farmer is not a very good thing. A drought for a farmer is not a very good thing. Look at this farmer as he's sitting with his knees in the field. He knows all the efforts and energy he put in with his crop in the springtime. He knows how hard it was to plant his seed. He knows how valuable it was to watch his weed management. But as he sits here, he only sees one quarter of his crop out of the ground. He's in a drought. The farmer can only control so many factors, but he can't control a drought. But you know the coolest thing about a drought? If you can look at the glass half full, I like to look that way. Larry, it's important. Be positive and everything. When you look through the eyes of the farmer and he sees a drought, maybe, just maybe, God allows us to go through a drought so we know how valuable the rain is. So we know how much and how badly we need that rain. If you always had your crop, if you always had your abundance, if you always had the rain, you would never know what it's like to keep your eyes on the blesser, not the blessings. And if he allowed you in your journey to always be abundant, you would never find yourself the way he intended you to. And it says in Hosea 13:5, "I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of the drought, that in the midst of him bringing you out of Egypt on that journey to what he has for you, he cared for you even when it was drought, even when you saw no growth, even when it was hard. He's still there." And that's the cool thing, because what we learn is that God provides all things. And it says this, Job 5:10, "He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields." That he is our source. A farmer knows and he realizes in the midst of a drought that his focus cannot be in what he lost, but his focus has to be in the one who provides the rain. The one that provides the rain. In Deuteronomy 11:14 says, "He will give the rain for your land in its season." Maybe it's not your season yet for rain. It says, "He will give you the rain for your land in its season." maybe that drought you're experiencing, maybe take advantage of it. Because he wants your eyes to be fixed on him. Your eyes to be fixed on him. He will give rain on the earth, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. To conclude this, that he will provide. It may seem tough in the midst of your drought, but a farmer knows that he can trust him. He can trust him. And so our journey continues into the fall harvest time. I love these pictures. This is a red tractor and red combine for y'all that are green John Deere lovers. This is the stuff that my dad and I and our family farm that we use on our farm. And it's an absolute blessing. I mean, technology, Dad, you can attest to this, has come a long way for the farmer. We can get a lot of acres done in a good amount of time. And the fall is an amazing time for the harvest. It's this sense of anticipation. You see, he works so hard all year long. He does everything he can. He sows in the spring. He fertilizes his crop. And he does his weed management. Because he wants to reap the rewards of what the harvest brings. That's his number one goal. And so this is an exciting time. I get excited. Even though I work 90 hours a week, I'm still excited. Because I get to reap the rewards of what the harvest brings. And this fall harvest was absolutely amazing. The Holy Spirit spoke through me. And you see this picture of a valley. This picture of a valley. And you don't even have to be a farmer to understand this, but there's green. These are called soybeans, okay? And these are beans that are green. And everywhere else they're brown and mature. Now, I love this, Larry, because you're a farm boy, you know what green beans mean, don't you think, maybe? Green beans means this. The bean is still photosynthesizing sunlight to produce sugars to fill the starch of the kernel. Let me just actually rephrase that. It ain't ripe yet. It's not ripe yet. It's not ready for harvest. That when a farmer sees green beans, he's like, I can't go into that field. It's not ready yet. It's not ready. And so it was such a fascinating thing because as I was starting to combine the field, I would start to be at the top of the field and on the crest of it, and I'd be harvesting grain that would thrash properly and it was ready for harvest. And then I'd get to the valley and it was still green and I couldn't even go in because the seed was so juicy, meaning it wasn't ready yet. It wasn't ready. And the Holy Spirit said this. He says, Brandon, you need to go and tell everybody that you know that it's in the valleys where the soil is the richest. It's in the valleys where the most growth can occur. It's in the valleys where the most abundance can come from. Some of you here in this room might be going through a valley in your life right now. It might be hard. It might be tough. But maybe, just maybe, God is allowing you to slip into the valley, to allow your roots to dig deep, to get that organic matter that's there, to build that root structure stable so when a storm comes along that you're strong enough to withstand it. I would say congratulations that you're in the valley. Consider it a time, James says, of pure joy. Consider it pure joy that you're in the valley. See, some of you may see everyone around you ripe, mature, crisp, and ready for their harvest. You may see that they're successful, they're victorious, they're married, they have jobs, they got a degree, and you're stuck in your valley. I'm here to encourage you that even in the midst of your valley, that God is not done with you yet, that maybe he's allowed you to slip in, to get your roots so deep, to finally produce the very thing that he's been trying to produce. Maybe, just maybe, the valley was the very best thing that could have ever happened to you. The very best thing. The very best thing. And the great thing about a farmer, and Larry, you know this, that when a farmer finally goes back into the valley of his field, the crop is the most abundant out of any other place in the field. That is where the farmer actually receives the most of his crop. That is where the abundance comes from. And so don't look to the left or to the right. Don't sway on others being ripe and ready for maturity. Don't sway on that. Your harvest time isn't yet. Maybe God's just got you glued because he's not finished with you yet. That he wants to produce the very thing inside of you that he wants you to become. And so I encourage you in your valley. Paul says to Timothy, join me in my suffering. It might hurt, but everyone else is ripe. I'm still green. But see, that's the thing. In the valley, the beans are not dead yet. They're not dead. They're alive. They're growing. There's power in the valley. And all this concludes this, that Abundance in the valley is a growing opportunity. Are you growing? Or are weeds taking you out? Are things destroying you, distracting you? There's abundance in the valley. The second thing that God spoke to me in the fall, I get so excited. You can probably tell. I love it. So this is the one thing that God spoke to me. Finding joy in the finish. Does everyone have joy here in this room? Everyone say joy. Joy. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. My question and challenge to you is if you're not experiencing any strength, do you have joy? Do you have joy? Do you have joy? And I love this line of finding joy in the finish. And I was just about to finish the harvest season, to finish soybean harvest. And I was getting so excited. It was amazing. There was a sense of joy. There was a sense of excitement that all this hard work, everything I put my life into, all the things that I did, the sowing, the weed management, the fertilizing, all that I did, I finally am almost finished. And the Holy Spirit kind of challenged me on this. He says, Brandon, why do you find joy in your finish? Why are you excited to finish? And he correlated me right back to this scripture. And it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Did you know that Jesus endured the cross for you and for me because of the joy that was set before him? That in the midst of Christ's final finish, he found joy. He found joy in his finish. Now why would Christ find joy in his finish? That was the question that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and he was asking me to think. And he says, when you find the answer, you better go tell everybody that you know. And this is the answer. This is the answer. That just like a farmer finds joy in his finish, not because he takes selfishly all the crop that he finally reaped from to himself. But no. Like Jesus found joy in his finish because it wasn't just the finish. It was actually the birth of his church. That it was the final start. He planted the seeds he had to. He gave the legacy to his disciples. He said, therefore, go and make disciples. It was the final start. That's what it was. He in the midst of his finish was so excited because it was the start. And a farmer is the same way. He gets excited too, because when he finds joy in his finish, he takes the blessings that he's received. He takes the abundance of what he received. He takes what he finally reaped, and he doesn't hold on to it. He's that much closer to going and sowing again. You don't even have to be a farmer to understand this concept. If you reap what you sow, and you don't take some of it to sow it again, how can you expect the harvest? Farmer is not selfish. When he finally reaps what he sowed, he takes that seed and he knows he needs to hold on to some of it to plant again. And maybe God is calling you to invest in people's lives. Maybe he's giving you a gifting and a talent. Do you ever think at a young age, I didn't even talk to people when I was 5, and I'm up here speaking to you to encourage you and to motivate you. It's a gifting. It's a calling. And so many of you in this room have a gifting and a calling. And God wants you to take it, and he wants you to go sow again. He wants you to invest it. He doesn't want you to hold on to it. He wants you to become contagious in the world that you're in. Because guess what? You may be the only Jesus that anyone ever sees. Consider it pure joy. There's joy in the finish. It's an exciting time for a farmer. And Christ has planted those seeds in our heart to now go out and sow in the hearts of so many. Joy. The finish. Then we get to winter. Everybody say winter. Winter. So we've been through spring. We've been through summer. We finally get to winter. Now, you look at this photo. When a farmer wakes up and there's snow like this, he ain't going to his fields, is he? There's not a whole lot a farmer can do when it's wintertime. You can't go out in your field. For sure, you can't sow in the snow, right, Larry? There's no way you can plant a seed in the winter. It's kind of interesting that when God teaches the farmer, he shows the farmer that, hey, I'm the one that's in control of the seasons that you're in. But a farmer knows each season that he's in, and he knows his surroundings. And so a farmer, he takes a different focus approach in the wintertime. Because he can't go to his fields, he does 3 things. He has a time of rest, preparation, and prayer. Look at that guy resting up there. Dad, don't ever look like that when you're older, all right? That's awesome. It's awesome. It's a time of rest, preparation, and prayer. See, a farmer works so hard. He works so hard all year long that he needs some rest. He needs a time to just lay low and to rest. But a farmer also understands the value and importance of preparation. See, a farmer takes his manuals. He takes the things that he learned. He takes the things that he did right. He takes the things that he didn't do right. He analyzes it and he figures out what to do the next year. Are you reading your manual here today? Are you reading the very book that you've been blessed with that gives you guidance and direction in your life to be all that you're called to be? Are you reading your manual? Because if a farmer never read his manual, he would never know what to do differently the following year. It's important for that time of preparation. He knows how valuable it is to prepare. Are you preparing here today? Or have you been so caught up in your blessings that you've lost your focus on the blesser? The blesser. And then we get into prayer. A farmer understands how valuable it is to pray. Prayer is such a vital, important thing, especially in a farmer's life, to pray for abundance, to pray for all things. Are you praying here? Are you praying? And I love this. I love this. It says this. He leads me beside still waters. And he does this to restore my soul. Are some of you craving that time of rest? Because I don't know about you. But when you work 3,000 hours in a year, you need some rest time. You need that time of rest. And God, he spoke this to me. He says, when you encourage the people about their winter, you need to encourage them with this. That it's okay to have a winter. That it's okay to be in winter. It's okay to be in a season where you have rest, where you have preparation, and where you have a time of prayer. And God encouraged me with this. He says, Brand, he says, I want to take all those things that you learn in the winter, and I want you to apply it in every single season the rest of the year. I want you to take your winter with you. I want you to pray. I want you to prepare. And I always need you to rest. I want to be the shepherd as you are the little sheep where I can lead beside still waters because I want to restore your soul. Maybe some of you in this room need some restoration here today. Maybe some of you need to lie down in green pastures with your shepherd. Maybe some of you need to be led by still waters. It's okay to rest. The farmer sees that. He sees that it's okay to rest. I'd like the band to come back up, if you guys could. And looking through the eyes of the farmer, three major things stand out over the year. So I've told you guys things that stand out in each season, but these is like a summary. Now, I was telling the other service this morning, I could basically be still here with the first service telling you all about what a farmer truly experiences. But I want to emphasize just key points. And so the three key points that stand out when looking through the eyes of the farmer is this. To everything, there is a season. To everything, there's a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up which is planted. A farmer knows that when there's snow, there's no way he can go sow his seed. And maybe some of you here haven't been experiencing and enjoying what the harvest truly will bring to you because you haven't put your focus in the right season that you're in. Maybe some of you are trying to invest your time and your talent and your energy and it ain't spring yet. Maybe you're in a drought, but your focus is so caught up the fact that you need rain, that you're forgetting what God is teaching you in your season of drought. That there's a season for everything, guys, and a farmer knows this. He knows that in every season, he has to do something. The second thing is this. You reap what you sow. Everyone say, sow. You reap what you sow. If you sow your seed into fertile ground, I can encourage you that you can expect a harvest. You sow your seed into negativity, I can encourage you that you're going to become negative. You sow your seed in that area of your life that you know is that weed that's pulling you down. Don't expect to grow. The farmer knows that you reap what you sow. And he knows how valuable that principle is. And so he makes sure he applies it in fertile ground. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. As a farmer, guys, I want to reap what I sow. I want an abundance in my life. I want an absolute eruption of abundance in every area of my life. I want to be all that I'm called to be. Do you? Do you want to be that man or woman that God has called you to be? The third thing is this. When you see life through the eyes of the farmer, you are thankful for the blessings, but focused on the blesser. You're thankful for the blessings. You're thankful for that abundance that he gave you. You're thankful for that valley that he allowed you to go in. But you're not just so caught up in the abundance. You're not so caught up in what you got. But your focus is fixed on the one who gave you it. Your focus is not fixed on the abundance. It's fixed on the one who even placed the soil there in your life in the first place to even sow into. And I love this because this is an example of Abraham. Abraham was a man in scripture. And God blessed Abraham with an incredible blessing named Isaac. And Abraham was elderly in his years. And he was finally blessed with Isaac later on. And Isaac was a blessing from God. And God actually asked Abraham, hey, can you sacrifice this blessing? Abraham would have never been able to go through with the sacrifice if his focus was fixed on his blessing. Abraham's focus was fixed on the blesser, the one who gave him the blessing in the first place. And maybe some of you here, God wants you to be the father of many nations. He wants to do so many things in you, but your focus has been so fixed on the blessings in your life that you're not able to sacrifice, that you're not able to pass the test that he's trying to encourage you to pass. Because when you pass it, he provides the ram in the thicket. He provides the very thing you need. Where is your focus? Is it on the blesser or is it on the blessings? And I love this because this is the final thing. I know I said three, but I kind of have four. When you see life through the eyes of the farmer, you see Jesus. You see Jesus. You see that in the midst of his whole journey, in the midst of his spring, in the midst of his summer, of his fall and of his winter, you see his eyes are fixed on Jesus. His eyes are fixed on the very shepherd that is guiding him as a little sheep in his whole journey. His eyes are fixed on Jesus. If I was to look through your eyes today, would I see Jesus? If I was to see life through your perspective, is your focus on the blessings or is your focus on the blesser? When I see life through your eyes as KWCF Church, do I see the bricks and mortar that you've been blessed with in this new property and this new building? Or is your focus on the one who even made the bricks and mortar in the first place? Where is your focus? And all this concludes that we serve a God who is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, amen. A God that provides all things. And a farmer can sit down in his winter, in the midst of his drought, in the midst of everything that he went through, and he might not have even gained anything his whole year. He could have sat 365 days on his couch, and he could have made more profit. But he sits there, and he thanks Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, the one who got him out of his drought, the one who placed him in his valley, the one that allows his roots to dig so deep that he can finally be the man or woman or child of God that he has destiny on your life. I don't know about you, but I want abundance in my life. I want to be everything God has called me to. And so everyone standing in this moment, it's been an absolute privilege and honor to encourage you and to motivate you guys. I'm so thankful for this word. I'm so thankful that God was able to speak to me, to speak to you guys. And I hope that you've been receiving of it. I hope that you can apply it. I hope that you can see life in a little bit of a different lens today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these people, God. I thank you, Lord, that we can submerge ourselves in your presence. I thank you that in the midst of chaoticness from Monday to Saturday, that we can have a time of rest on Sunday. God, I pray that same principle for our Sunday, can be applied with us each and every that it can be provided in each season that we go through. God, I pray that these people can learn to find fertile ground. I pray that these people don't spread themselves too thin. I pray that they can invest their lives into areas where they can expect a harvest. I pray for abundance, Lord. God, do something in these people when they're in their valleys, Lord God. And Lord, in the midst of their drought, allow their focus not to be on the crop that they lost. No. Allow their focus to be on the one who brings them the rain, the one who brings them the bountiful, the one who provides all things. And I thank you, Jesus, that when we see life through the eyes of the farmer, that we see you. We see that our eyes are turned upon you. Thank you, Jesus.